This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program. Got to get some playoff waiver picks coming up. Maybe 9:15? Sound good to you guys?
Sure.
All right, we got Zach on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We'll leave the phone lines open for a little bit longer here. If you want to weigh in, hop on 865-546-8200. What's up, Zach? You're on Three and Out.
Well, you say Houston, Nate, Davey, and Adam.
Morning, sir.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, it's optimistic.
Started off a little rough, doing better now.
I've been working in a different time zone this week, so haven't been able to call in, but been listening to the show. Haven't listened to anything today yet, but I wanted to talk about some of the 10,000-foot view of looking over this thing. So, first of all the fans tweeting out, because we lived, you know, some of us lived through the 90s, and all the fans tweet now, all the pictures of how Florida's so nice to them, and the fans, you know, the ones that travel down there, they're going to cookouts, and Florida fans are really nice to them. Well, here's why.
Is that what you saw over the weekend? I didn't see any of that. Were we treated well?
I didn't see a lot of that going around Twitter.
That's the way it goes when you're not a threat, Zach.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My point exactly. You know, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, guys. You think they say that when Georgia and Florida meet? They both hate each other.
Right.
There's no nice pleasantries exchanged. So, you know, for them to say the culture's changed down in Gainesville, I still can't stand them. And the reason they're nice to us is because we are no threat to them. It's just kind of that simple. Second of all, like, and you guys might have mentioned this, but again, I haven't listened. But so Grantham basically is resting players, and Mullen, you know, loves what we're doing. And fans get so excited about what Mullen says. I don't give a crap what he says. Hmm. I could care less. And, you know, putting stock into that, that's not, it's not going to get you much there. I mean, no matter how I feel, you can't get excited about what opposing coach says. And Grantham's just, you know, I think Grantham was more honest than Mullen.
We discussed that a little bit. I don't. Nate kind of summarized what I was thinking. Like with Kentucky, there's a lot of different formations. That, you know, they're going to check their play. They're going to do a lot of different things. Tennessee just goes fast. So in a way it makes it simpler for the defense because, you know, you can't necessarily match Tennessee perfectly. There's not as much for the defensive coordinator to do. So I wonder if that's what he meant. You know, if Tennessee's going to go fast and go four wide, three wide in motion, it's like, look, here's what we're looking at. We're not going to have time to make a bunch of checks and a bunch of audibles. So here's the simple things we can key on as a defense to stay, you know, as sound as we can be. It might actually be a little bit easier. I don't know if that was meant as a dig against, you know, Josh Heupel and Tennessee's offense just as much as it is. Their offense is, you know, it's fast and it's multiple and it's confusing, but we can't do as much as coaches because they're going so fast. Whereas Kentucky, they're going to have to adjust based on, you know, Kentucky's pre-snap motion and alignments and all their shifting and stuff like that. So I'm waiting on the Grantham thing. I'm not ready to say he called Josh Heupel's offense a breeze to prepare for and to coach against. I don't know why Mullen would say that. I mean, I know you kind of compliment the other team in the SEC, unless you've got beef, but I don't know why he would say that if it wasn't true. I mean, I think it's true as I watch this team. They look more prepared. They play harder. The schemes on both sides of the ball are much better. We just don't have the Jimmies and Joes right now to compete with the Floridas, the Georgias, and the Alabamas in this conference.
No, and I agree with you, Houston, on the second part of what you said. We don't have the Jimmies and Joes, but at the same time, coaches, we don't know how they're connected by friends or links or, it. To me, I just don't put much stock into what another opposing coach says.
Sure, that's fine.
Saban said a lot of nice things about Jeremy Pruitt, too.
And Derek Dooley. And I get that. And if it had been directed specifically towards Heupel, I think that's one thing. But he kind of complimented the whole team just as being – a different group compared to what you saw last year. As we all watched it was a team that kind of quit, wasn't very motivated, and just kind of wanted to get to the offseason. I don't think that's where this team is, at least not right now.
Right. And did you guys listen to any of the drive yesterday?
I did.
And I think that's not a culmination on Heupel. I was actually surprised by so many negative calls, but at the same time, you have to care. We're glad Tennessee fans care, but you wonder if it's a little bit too late. I mean, it sounds like a culmination of anger among losing for 13 years. Mm. And this game was kind of like a snapping point for a lot of people. You see the empty stands. They're talking about shrinking the stadium, which I can understand. But we're losing generations of fan base, guys. And the thing about it is I was talking to some friends of mine, and their daughter goes, unfortunately, to Florida. And they said, they don't know a lot about the Florida program, in other words, just because their daughter's there for their freshman year. But they said, who's your guys' biggest rival? Mm. That kind of stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
And, and I said, What do you mean? It was Florida, and they're like, oh, really? Because they don't. Everybody, the outsiders looking in, they're like, that's not a rival game. Who is our rival right now?
Well, this is a debate. It depends on what you mean by rivalry. I mean, Davey thinks it has to be competitive week in and week out for that to be the case, but.
Just competitive, but that's that's the underlying factor for me. I think you should blow the doors off of Vanderbilt this year, but I still would argue that's your most competitive rivalry. I mean, I definitely think it's more
competitive,
of a,
yes, but like if you say biggest rival, like your arch nemesis as a program,
well, you're kind of losing it because I think we asked people, and older Alabama fans.
Well, it's
still
better
said,
when it's reciprocated.
Still said Tennessee, but I think lately, Alabama fans more
Alabama
just
fans,
say
Georgia
Auburn.
Fans, Florida fans, they're all just kind of like, not them. I mean, they got bigger fish to fry right now. Now, when we're good and ruining their seasons occasionally, it's different.
Yeah, to that point, Zach, Vanderbilt's beaten Tennessee more times in my life than Tennessee's beaten Florida.
That's disgusting. I mean, historically, we've always done bad against Florida. Look, we've always, but we've been competitive. You remember how those games were in the 90s. I mean, those were knock-it-down, drag-out fights. But it was eye-opening to me that the perception of the program is not just with some, a few nega balls. It's the perception of people that are looking from the inside out. Who's your biggest rival? Because for Florida, I guess it's Georgia or LSU. Georgia's probably Florida, or they would say Alabama. But we've just lost the kind of luster, and I just feel like it was all coming down on Josh Heupel yesterday, and that's not really fair. He's probably one of the few guys that would have took your job at the time. And, I don't know. It's frustrating. I could feel the frustration and certainly go along with them. But, you know, the key is for Heupel, I think, is can he recruit?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the $1 million question going forward. Can he recruit enough to get on the level again? And you look around the SEC, the only thing that gives me hope is there are a lot of teams that are not that good. That's what gives me hope on Optimism Tuesday. Would you guys go on agree with that? You got kind of those upper echelon teams, maybe mm-hmm. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, but you've got a bunch of in the middle teams and kind of lower teams.
Yeah, right now it's those three and then a big dog pile in the middle, it feels like.
There's been more and more parity in the SEC as time goes by, even when Alabama or LSU, you know, one year here, even when you have kind of a super team or even sometimes two, the middle of the pack is moving together. Like the third and fourth best team are a lot closer to the third and fourth worst teams in the whole league than ever before. And that helps you climb. That helps you. It's helped Arkansas so far this season. It helped A&M last season. It helps you if you can just play smart football and be pretty good, even if you have some talent discrepancy. It helps you at least show that you can be on the top of that heap. And then if you can use that, I mean, ideally, Optimism Tuesday at Tennessee, you can still use that to then recruit a whole crew of kids in that puts you at least within fighting range of the top teams.
And Nate, I'll add one more thing and then get out of your hair, and I appreciate you letting me vent. And just tying it into Optimism Tuesday, one thing that's changed that's different from a few years ago, you really can take transfers out of the one-year transfer portal mm-hmm. now that they've changed the rules to try to build your roster. You know, that we talk a lot about what Sam Pittman's been doing to Arkansas, but he's got 16 COVID seniors that are starting and playing big minutes for him. So, you know, there is something there. Of course, you know, having the two best coordinators in the SEC helps their cause too. But I'm just saying, you've got multiple ways to get players now.
Yeah.
You've got NIL agreements, you got one-year transfers, and you got recruiting. So there's no excuse not to get your players in. We'll see how it goes. Thanks for letting me vet, guys. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Zach. And I think that
especially to beat those teams. I mean, especially to beat the Missouris and the Kentuckys. Like there's no excuse. You can't say, well, we were just way behind the eight ball, so after 3 or 4 years, I still couldn't beat Kentucky. I mean, come on. You're not, you know, you can't hire a coach at Tennessee and 4 or 5 years in to just say, yeah, it's harder at Tennessee than it is at Missouri. Like, that's just not that's never going to be a viable.
No, that'll never fly. The transfer portal to me, so recruiting is a building process, right? It's unless you're an Urban Meyer, unless you have that proven track record of just sustained greatness, it's very tough to go into any situation and just recruit lights out from the jump, right? Whether it's, I mean, the school really doesn't matter. Everyone's going to be like, wait, if you haven't heard of the coach, he hasn't had championship level success consistently in a big time conference, there's going to be a little So you got to sell it. You got to sell, especially high school recruits, on in 4 years we are going to be this. And if you can't sell that with what you have now, I think you have to go transfer portal. And it's a good benefit because at a place like Tennessee, I do think it's easier right now for Josh Heupel to get this team in a year or two at a level where you're ultra competitive and beating teams, the Missouris, Kentuckys, Vanderbilt, South Carolinas. Especially, I mean, if you can go find the right quarterback. I just listed a bunch of transfer quarterbacks, and there's a bunch of reason kids transfer. It's not always because they just stink. Sometimes they get in trouble, or sometimes mm-hmm. they get beat out by a guy who's just a little bit better, and they want to go somewhere and play.
Yeah.
And I do think that's one of the benefits of what Josh Heupel's done to this point, and if he can continue to do it, it'll obviously pay off in the end. But the guys seem like they're having fun. You watch this team; they're playing hard. They love each other. They respect each other. That is a good thing. That's how you attract guys who only have one or two more years. And, you know, Alabama's loaded at quarterback. Well, I don't have a spot. If I go to Alabama, I'm not going to beat that guy out. Tennessee can become a very attractive transfer portal destination for what I would say are pretty damn good players. And if you can do that and then prop yourself up for a year or two, be a little bit better than maybe what people expect, that's when the recruiting relationships and the hype around, you know, a freshman – or senior in high school, freshman in college, coming to Tennessee. That's how you build that and grow it. So, and I think he's done a pretty good job in the transfer portal. I mean, Dejon Terry playing a lot. Tremblay playing a lot. You're starting Juwan Mitchell. You've got your kicker is a transfer. Two of your quarterback. Now, Hooker was already here, but two of your quarterbacks transfers. And I don't know if it's the same. I mean, Tyon Evans was a JUCO guy, but he committed to Heupel in Tennessee before he ever came to campus. So you're starting to see it a little bit. And I think the transfer portal is only going to get, you know, more and more crazy. I think that's probably where Heupel's going to have to go. Because not only can you get pretty good players, but you've got guys who only have, you know, a year or two left and want to go to a place where maybe they've had a bad experience somewhere. I want to go somewhere where I can have fun, play quickly. As Davey said, we've been selling playing time for quite a bit. And if you're a quarterback and you're watching this system thinking, man, I can make a 40-yard throw accurately, I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. If you're a receiver, man, I want to go somewhere where they throw the ball a lot and I can get open. Man, Heupel's scheming them open. And you're getting players that are, you know, 1, 2, 3 years into a collegiate system. So they're more mature physically and mentally, and they have experience playing at a higher level. So I think if I'm Josh Heupel, and did that rule pass, by the way, where they're going to give you 7 transfer spots that don't count against the 25? Was it 7?
We never even talked about it.
We completely forgot. But that's
I don't know. I think it's just on the table.
It's on the table that the up to 7 transfer portal additions to your team will not count against your 25, which we said from literally day one that they announced the 25 mm-hmm. and the transfers counting against it. I mean, if I'm Heupel, what's your ratio? I mean, you don't want to take guys that you don't think can help you, but would you be afraid to go get, I don't know, 15 transfer portal guys that you think can help you and then only sign 17 freshmen? No. I wouldn't hate that.
No.
You got to be careful because you don't want to get to a point where you're not getting transfers in down the road and you've only got, you know,
right.
5 you're seniors or something. Yeah. Right, yeah. But I think the transfer portal for Josh Heupel could prove very, very beneficial. Mm-hmm. In a way, it already has. I mean, I don't know. Willie called in yesterday talking about Harrison Bailey before he got dumped for being a fool. But you've already got 2 guys at quarterback that are, at least according to the coaches, better than the 5-star you got, and they both came out of the transfer portal.
Yeah,
I mean, so if I'm Josh Heupel and I can get guys that I think will make a difference and make my team better quicker, yeah, give me transfer portal players. Absolutely. As many as I can.
I mean, it's just going to be the way it is. You're going to have to piece it together. At least you have.
It's like the super JUCO, right? Everyone said that for years. Oh, JUCO players, they're a little bit more mm-hmm. advanced. They're a little bit more, you know, used to the weight room and college life. The transfer portal market is super JUCO.
Yeah.
And a lot of teams for a lot of years, I mean, Nebraska won national championships just raiding the JUCO market. Tennessee can do that in the transfer portal market, and I think you're well positioned to do that. You got a big brand that's just not very good right now, a fun, you know, environment around your team. You can sell that, and then if you have that success on the field, that's when you're going to be recruiting against Florida, Georgia, maybe Alabama, who knows, and winning those battles and getting the 5-stars who are going to be on campus for 3, 4, or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of our guys. Haven't seen this much fight in them in a long time. Every game, they keep getting better. Hashtag VFL, hashtag off all, hashtag GBO. I'm a real fan, hashtag.
A real fan, hashtag?
Yeah, the hashtag came at the end on that one.
Like just hash, like just the number sign?
They meant to put the hashtag in front of I'm a real fan, but it just goes I'm a real fan, hashtag.
They were too excited to propose that.
That's a tag hash. They call that a tag hash.
The old tag hash.
Shouts out, Kathy.
Hate to see it. Or love to see it.
Or a gotcha. Mm. Gotcha. It's hashtag backwards. Pass, and then when you run the play action, which we run a lot with Joe Milton. What did I say the other day? It's like 80-something percent of his throws are off play action.
Yeah.
It was a high, high number.
All right, college football playoff. If we drafted playoff teams, we didn't. These aren't our picks. Like we can only take one each team once, you know, as a show. So obviously, our lower end playoff teams are pretty bad options.
I mean, my high end playoff teams were pretty bad, to be fair.
Yeah.
What's number one overall pick for you, Iowa State's record?
Yeah, they're like 2-2.
Not pretty.
Who'd they lose to this week?
Baylor.
Yeah.
Who's got the first waiver?
They were getting run over for a while.
Adam.
Adam still does. Who are his teams, Davey?
What's the order here?
I think it's Adam. Waiver you, me, Davey. Order is Adam, Kress, me, Nate.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm last?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you dropped Texas and out of BYU last week.
Smart.
What's their record?
I don't know. BYU's 13th and undefeated, at least. They've been continuing to win.
They've done a pretty good job of keeping it rolling once they lost Wilson. That's good for them.
So, Adam, you currently have Iowa State, Notre Dame, UCLA, and Penn State.
Penn State's looking good. They're fourth.
Yeah.
They're in playoff position.
They are.
Nate has Alabama, Texas A&M.
Yikes.
Florida and BYU. Houston has Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, and Cincinnati. I have Oklahoma, Clemson, woof, Ole Miss, and Iowa.
All right.
Tony Elliott.
Who's in a better position, me or Davey?
Oh, me.
I don't see it.
How do you figure?
He's got
because Penn State's got a much more difficult road.
Who else do you have, Adam?
I got Penn State, which I feel good about.
I mean, isn't Iowa
Notre
rated?
Dame.
Where's Iowa at? They're fifth, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, they're right there.
I mean, but Davey, you have Oklahoma. Do we really feel good about them right now?
I feel better about Oklahoma making it than I do Iowa State, Notre Dame, or UCLA.
That's fair.
You guys are arguing like, yeah. I mean, this makes no sense.
I mean, I'm just saying, I've got two in the top four right now.
It's pretty good.
I feel like I'm in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, well.
No, Kress, I mean, yeah, you're.
I mean, Hickman's going to make a move, right?
You're there, but it's a long season. Yeah, Hickman, what you got, buddy?
I'm sitting.
You're still sitting?
I'm
sorry?
I'm holding that pick.
Okay.
Keep it in the back pocket.
Why?
Because sooner or later, now if the three of y'all just refuse to do nothing, there's one or two teams I really have my eye on. I'm not going to say.
I know who they both are.
Who?
It's Michigan and Arkansas.
No.
No, he's talking about teams that
you guys
we
already
have.
Oh.
Those are the two that, you know, maybe 3 weeks from now would be an interesting pickup, but
he's wanting to wait till the opportune moment to snag like kind of a sure thing.
That we drop? Why would we drop a sure thing?
Or that just comes out of nowhere because he'll have the first pick every week.
One of you three has a team that I feel like you will eventually drop.
Hmm.
That is going to be a
have
pretty
a
much yeah pretty much come down to the conference championship to get in.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you've never played this game before. All right, so
Houston,
go ahead.
I'm staying. Ohio State's got a decent shot to win out. Georgia's got Arkansas this weekend. That's a noon game at Arkansas. Is that right?
I can't remember where it is, but is it noon? Yeah.
Yikes. That'll be interesting. I still, even with the loss there, I feel like Georgia's in pretty good shape if they can win the SEC championship, which I don't know if they got a good shot at that, but they're in good position. Oregon, obviously, in really good position. They're 4-0. And Cincy, look out. They got Notre Dame this weekend.
Oh, really?
Is it this weekend or next weekend?
Yeah, I'll check for you. I'm looking right at it.
I think it's next weekend. No, it is this weekend.
Do you think?
And if they beat Notre Dame, I mean, they're bumping
2nd,
up catbird seat.
On the road. Do they have?
I mean, is the loser of that game out of playoff contention?
Yes, I would.
Yeah,
think
probably.
So.
Yeah.
They don't really have another. They need to win that game convincingly if they really want like a legit shot. I think.
Who? Cincinnati.
I think if Cincinnati beats Notre Dame by like 14 or more, and then runs the table, doesn't really have any close calls where they play poorly. They just don't really have another, you know, big win
right.
on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think. I mean, obviously, Penn State and Iowa—they're not going to. Both those teams aren't going to go undefeated. One of those teams is going to lose and drop.
Yeah.
Potentially both of them. I don't have their schedules in front of me, but
when you kind of need Notre Dame to run the table after a Cincinnati loss, too, that would be.
Oh yeah,
for
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. I don't think Arkansas is going to go undefeated, and then.
Butch Jones walked, so Luke Fickell could run. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the Bowdens was in between there and just absolutely like did awful.
Terry. No, Tommy.
I got them mixed up.
It was Tommy.
I couldn't even tell you which one's.
Didn't he go to Texas Tech after that? Is he still there
in Alabama?
Is he still?
No.
Yeah, that's right. He is. He's a something now. Congressman, senator, something like that. All right, Dave, what do you got?
So, I'm debating between taking Arkansas and Michigan because obviously both teams control their destiny. I do not believe Clemson is. I mean, with two losses
they're
in that ACC, there's just no way
Did North Carolina get housed by Georgia Tech?
Yep.
Yeah, the ACC's they're in trouble.
Yes.
Clemson's not going to have enough to get back in it unless things just go haywire here.
But I mean, there's a lot of those teams right there that I'm just kind of waiting to see make a move. Obviously, some of them are going to lose, but you got a lot of undefeated teams that can rise up. Call me crazy, but just based off their schedule, and I think they could beat Ohio State this year, I'm going to draft Michigan.
So Davey adds Michigan. Who are you dropping?
Clemson.
Clemson, okay. I just couldn't remember.
And you dropped Texas and added BYU, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, BYU does get to play Baylor in a few weeks. So BYU may have the schedule to get there. It's a lot better than Cincinnati's. But I don't know if they go undefeated. It's going to be much tougher. So Davey adds Michigan. Best teams on the board in terms of their rankings. I think it's Arkansas. Sorry, I'm having to get back.
Yeah,
to
but I mean, they're
eighth. Yeah,
what do they got? They got they have to play Georgia this year.
This
weekend.
Sorry, well, there's Georgia still left for them. Alabama still left for them. Ole Miss
LSU,
is still left for them.
Ole Miss,
I mean,
Auburn.
Like the odds of them just
no, they're
out
not. They're not going to. Oh, it's at Georgia at noon, so it's on the road.
At Georgia at noon.
Oh, I got to compete for those eyes.
It might be a good thing. Might be a good thing. No one's gonna be watching our game. No pressure.
Mm.
About 50,000 people watching the game, nice and quiet.
I actually feel like this is one we could win. Kind of would like the eyes on us.
Nah, if we start handling them and Georgia gets out in front of Arkansas, they might say, well, let's watch this Tennessee offense. Could be fun. What's the deal with Jefferson? How hurt is he?
That's a really good question.
He did come back in the game, did he not? He was limping around a little bit and stuff.
Nate, are you making a move?
I think I am. Just A&M. Like I gotta get rid of A&M.
Yeah,
I think.
Sorry, I got took you this long.
Well, I mean, I said like I'll.
But the problem is, there's not like a great option here,
right? I mean, the options are if you're trying to just pick something out of left field, you know, like Michigan State, Wake Forest, Baylor,
offense.
I mean. Oklahoma State.
In fairness, he has been better ever since they realized that the radio guy was giving his plays to the other team. Once they stopped that, he's been not terrible.
I watched a little bit of their game against Virginia on Friday, and they, I mean, seem to be with it.
The circle
it's still
of five.
Weird. It is, man. Like you kind of talk about it with like these college teams. Like we've seen it for Tennessee, but some of these like mid-tier teams, like just the breakdowns and coverage that you see. It's pretty remarkable, like how some of these guys get so wide open.
Mm-hmm. Who's my? I got Florida, A&M, Alabama,
BYU.
And BYU.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a moment where I need to diversify. Problem is, like Baylor and Oklahoma State play this week.
Well, I mean, there's a chance you get. Well, no, because they've already played each other.
And then there's I mean, there's Michigan State. Like, I mean, they don't look.
I mean, you could have an opportunity where, like, let's say Alabama. Gosh, they run the table, except they lose one game. We'll say they lose to Ole Miss, and then Ole Miss falls down. But Florida makes it to the championship, and Alabama's like one loss keeps them out of the SEC championship. Florida wins the SEC championship, so then Florida and Alabama both.
No, I like having Florida and Alabama because I feel like it gives me a shot to get at least one of those teams in. You know, probably Bama, but if Bama doesn't make it, then it's going to be if Bama doesn't make the playoff, it's probably going to be Houston's Bulldogs in, and that's the only SEC team, or it's going to be Georgia and Florida somehow. That's possible. Or a West team. The only West team looks like they can get there is Kiffin and Ole Miss. I mean, Arkansas's undefeated, but all right, I'm going to drop Texas A&M, and I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice and take Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Because like Houston said, like Oklahoma's not good. Michigan State plays Ohio State and Penn State in the season, back-to-back. Not to mention, they play Michigan like in 2 weeks. So, like, they're not an option. Oklahoma State has on the road at Texas this week. If they get, or sorry, they're on a bye. I messed all that up. They play Baylor this week. They get that win. Then they're on a bye. Then it's at Texas. Then it's just kind of regular Big 12 teams, all unranked until they play Oklahoma to end the season. So, I don't know.
Texas
maybe they can
will
pull
be
that
a,
off.
You're talking about Oklahoma State?
Yeah. They got to beat Baylor at home this week. We'll see.
I am interested to, like, Oklahoma's not that good this year. They've just really struggled to put it together for whatever reason. And obviously the quarterback play, like, Rattler's not been bad. Like, I mean, but
some people said he's was a lot worse than Statline on Saturday. I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Weren't they booing him?
They were chanting.
They were wanting Caleb Williams. It'd be nice to pick which five-star you want to chant to have come in.
Well, like we said yesterday, though, they're
spoiled.
Their quarterback spoiled, which, welcome to the real world, you punks. I mean, Ohio State's struggling with quarterback stuff. Just, I mean, his is kind of an injury-based thing, but
Clemson.
So weird to me. Like, didn't Ua Ungalale have a really good game in the loss to Notre Dame last year? Like, over 304 touchdowns, and he just does not. Did they lose that much talent around him?
I really think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line.
Are they, yeah, I mean, I know they're rotating centers and starting a freshman at one of the guard spots. Is that, I mean, and haven't they lost, like, five defensive starters? I mean, their defense is still good, but when's the last time you couldn't name a starting Clemson wide receiver or four?
Well, they got Ross back after he had the whole spinal injury.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
Is he has he been good
this
year?
That other kid in the Georgia game was really good. Their receivers are talented.
It's weird. Okay. I mean, obviously that Georgia game was very defensive oriented. The only touchdown was the pick six.
I mean, he was 78 of 117, which is a 67% completion percentage. 914 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks last season. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that's limited work, but I mean, what's mind-boggling is not that they lost to Georgia; it's that they don't seem to be able to do anything on offense against even average competition. Like, so, it seems like you could manage the game and just get the ball to some receivers, run the football a little bit, and I mean, maybe if the offensive line is that bad, maybe that's the whole problem. Because we talk about Tennessee.
I just don't know what the deal is. They weren't good beforehand, but I mean, I kind of keep up with the ACC just because I think some of the storylines are somewhat interesting. But like, they've just been awful this year. Like, North Carolina's now lost 2 games, and they've looked terrible in both of them. The offense is, I don't know.
They're not good.
People have just realized, like, oh, it's just Mac Brown. Like,
they lost 2 really good running backs, but I thought they did a pretty good job with Chandler, and they got another guy who's pretty good. But they're just not the same. They just don't have it. Did they lose a bunch of receivers, too?
Yep.
They did? I thought it figures the way Sam Howell's been playing. Should have got out while the getting was good. Was he a junior this year or a senior?
I think it's just a
junior
year,
yeah. So he couldn't come out. It's a shame. It's a shame.
Nah, he's still highly thought of. I don't think people care that much. It is a weird league in the ACC, though.
Did you guys see
Miami sucks, Florida State
about
sucks.
Clemson and their 3-and-outs?
No.
So, obviously, Elliot, a guy who was in the conversation to take over the UT job last year after Jeremy Pruitt got fired.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
Tony Elliott, offensive coordinator at Clemson. And Clemson has gone 3-and-out on 41.7% of their offensive possessions this season.
Would have been perfect here. I mean, like, just think of the sponsorships we could get. Like,
we're doing a pretty good job on our own with the 3-and-outs. I wonder if
been good, but it ain't been that bad.
Not percentage-wise, but who's had more? Just a thought.
Wake Forest has to go on the road at North Carolina and at Clemson. They play NC State too, so.
Born.
They're not going to be undefeated, but Louisville this week for the Demon Deacons.
They killed Florida State, right?
35-14 2 weeks ago. Then they beat Virginia by 20 this past week.
Their game against UCF was pretty crazy.
When?
Louisville?
Oh.
The late pick six to win it?
Oh.
Louisville, UCF? Oh, yeah, that was 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah. Louisville.
It was like a walk-off pick six.
Louisville actually only beat Florida State by 8, but they were up, you know, multiple scores most of the game. Well, there you go. Some, is this going to be the year where it gets really nuts? I mean, I've been waiting for that year where you got like, okay, the one seed set, the two seed set. Oh my gosh, there are like seven teams that could be slated at 3 and 4. The committee's just going to have to pick a couple.
Jamie going to slide in there?
Who?
Jamie. Coastal, they're 17th.
I
right
thought you
now.
Said Chaney, and I was like, I don't know that he's in the NFL.
It's kind of sad that this is, that they don't have one big game this year. You know that they don't play. Remember when Houston played Oklahoma that
yep,
year, and it's
yep.
like, man, if they could win that game and then be impressive the rest of the way. I mean, if I don't know.
No, I mean they don't. You're right. They got
like if they were even playing like an Ole Miss, you know, or
they got Louisiana Monroe, Arkansas State at App State. How's App doing?
Pretty good.
They're 3-1. No, I'm saying if they beat it, though, would they get enough credit? I just don't know.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Troy, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Texas State, South Alabama. Just not a good schedule.
Nope. I mean, they'd have to go undefeated, and there'd have to be like I think power teams will have to have two losses for an undefeated Coastal to jump them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've already played their biggest opponents this year as far as like on a scale. I mean, I know Kansas isn't good. It's like
yeah,
football,
they would have almost had to just crush everyone on their schedule to get the type of mention they need without the two losses from every other team.
They had a close win against Buffalo.
Yeah, 28-25. That's a first year head coach there. I mean, it was at Buffalo, but it might not have even mattered. Even if they win that game by 30, I don't know if it matters if teams ahead of them don't have two losses.
Nah, they should have played the one big game against they should be lining up from now on one game against a power team. If problem is, who's going to play him? Like, who would want to play him?
No one.
It's just a lose-lose for the other team. So we'll come back. Final segment of the program. Stick with us. Optimism Tuesday wraps up next. Final segment of the program, Tuesday. I feel like we've done a great job. I mean, aside from all the negativity.
Well, it was the wrap-up from the Florida weekend. And
all the negative news we had to cover. I feel like we crushed it.
I still don't understand the Army game. I mean, Davey brought up a great point, and it's so true. When the guys can't go cover practice and write their article on practice reports and other things of practice nature, they have to go find other articles to write. So we're going to take a pot shot at canceling the Army game, which, by the way, was a brilliant Dave Hart idea that Fulmer and Pruitt were trying to get out of last year. I don't even, at that point, it might have been so far down the road. I don't even know if this is technically Danny White's decision, but maybe it was. I don't know. Also, you're giving them $500,000. What's more honorable than that? Just a donation to the troops.
I don't even know what the options
are. Yeah, what are we going to do with that money? Just like leave it over in the Middle East somewhere?
I mean, I just don't even know what the optics are with the service academies. Is that why, like, did Dave Hart think, oh, it'll be great to play, you know, to play Army and allow them to come into Neyland Stadium? That'll be a great look. Like, I don't, because obviously the AD has to consider those sorts of things. The football coach, and it was Jeremy Pruitt at the time, was like, hey, like, that's terrible
football
for our schedule and our season.
Well, remember Fulmer in what year was that? 2006?
Referring to the Air Force game?
Yeah, 2006. Air Force almost had you beat until you stopped the 2-point conversion, Xavier Mitchell. I mean, had you beat. They definitely could have sent it to overtime if they just kicked the extra point. They just recovered an onside kick. Fulmer probably said, this was a bad idea. Let's get out of this game. Pruitt's like, yeah.
Had my first ever date that night.
Nice. Still in love with her?
No.
Where'd you go?
I was in sixth grade, so it wasn't like we were doing the whole lot.
Oh, yeah, true. Middle school dance?
No, it wasn't a school function. Like I remember the game was in the background, actually, though.
Nice.
Poor Inky.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't.
But it's a tough game all the time. It's especially tough if it's not your first game of the season. And truth be told, we just need to schedule wins. I mean, how many, even when we were halfway decent, I mean, imagine what the talk is like if it's not Oklahoma in 2015, but you know, some other decent Power 5 team, and you win that game. I mean, it's a completely different outlook on the season. Like, this is the SEC. You don't have to be Kirby Smart and overthink the equation here. Like, win your SEC games and take care of business out of conference, and you're going to be just fine. Like, they didn't get left out of the playoff because they didn't have a tough out-of-conference. They got left out because they lost on the road to LSU.
Yep.
The SEC is tough enough, and it's only going to get tougher once we officially add Oklahoma and Texas. So there's just no need for – I mean, if you want to schedule a big out-of-conference game occasionally when you're, you know, pretty good as a home-and-home or, you know, the preseason stuff, okay, fine, whatever. But
– No, it's stupid.
Let's see both sides of the equation.
Take LSU, for example, this year, though. If LSU doesn't play that UCLA game,
yep.
If they play Akron, for example, and they win 40-10.
Sure.
And then they play McNeese State, and they win 34-7. And then they play Central Michigan, they win 49-21. Then they go on the road to Mississippi State, and they win 28-25, and they're undefeated.
They're a top five team.
People might be like, well, I don't know if LSU's really good yet, but...
But you get the benefit of the doubt,
because
you're in the SEC and you're undefeated. But instead, nope, we're going to go play at UCLA. Bad idea.
Now they're hosting Auburn, who obviously has major issues.
Mm-hmm.
LSU might win that game this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go on the road to Kentucky. They absolutely could win that game. I don't know if they will, but they could.
But that's the
thing.
And
then they play Florida. Like,
people were out on Orgeron after the UCLA game.
They're to the back half of their schedule undefeated.
They
didn't
have to play the game. And then the season just looks so much different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a coach, if you're an administrator, people are like, yeah, we got to the back half of the schedule and it got a lot tougher, but you know what? Good season. Now it's, well, we got.
And LSU used to not do that. They used to be smart. They used to play all just crap games
mm-hmm.
to start.
Two
and
sides.
Florida always has done that. They got Florida State at the end, so they're like, we play Florida State every year. There is no
which
reason
for years made sense, and now it's like, it might as well be Akron, the way Florida State's been lately.
There are two sides to the equation, though, and it just kind of depends on how your school schedules, because if everyone was on an equal playing field and you kind of had to have some parity amongst who you were scheduling versus like, all right, we can only play Power 5 teams, or you can go out and bring in FCS mm-hmm. opponents mm-hmm. or whatnot, like that would change the landscape for a lot of it, because you would have more upsets, I would say, and so it would lead to the conversations like, yeah, we lost that one, but, I mean, look over here, like, they lost this game, mm-hmm. but whenever it's just like, oh, Michigan's playing Western Michigan this week, and they beat them like
I just think Army
50.
If Army was your most difficult out of conference team, that's still a difficult game for a variety of reasons. You go to Pitt next year, you just don't need that game.
And it's the week before Florida. Like
you don't need that game. I get it, and I don't like canceling games. I don't like the optics. It looks like you're backing out, but Tennessee's just not in a position where you know come one, come all, anywhere, anytime, any team like. That's a game you could lose, and that's a week you're studying an offense you're not going to see again. I'm not saying it's a wasted week because you want to win that game, but it does not help you the rest of the way. It just does not. And, Nate, yeah, good point. That needs to be a tune-up type game. You got Florida coming in the next week. That could be I don't know what's going to happen next year at Pitt, but if you lose that one, you might need a game to kind of get right. And if you win that one, same thing. A game to get right. Could be undefeated, 3-0, welcoming Florida. Could have a good opportunity there.
This sounds kind of dumb, but it's better for recruiting to be a pretender for a little bit. Like,
agree 100%.
You might Arkansas might be exactly who we think they're going to be the rest of the way, and A&M's just kind of bad, and Texas is just kind of bad, and Arkansas is just at the end of the year. You look back and you go, you know, Arkansas was exactly as good as I thought they
were.
Would be
yeah,
this
they go.
Year.
They went 6-6 or 7-5.
But guess who's able to call the recruits this week and be like,
"Did you see we're number eight in the country?
Did you see us in Jerry's World this weekend? If they had played some other stupid non-conference game, well, I don't know. They did play Texas. Maybe that was stupid, but they won. But if they had scheduled, you know, whoever and lost, they don't get the same. Like it's beneficial to be a pretender. RG3 and Baylor 5-0, and they start getting all these
Geno
better
Hayes,
players on offense.
Geno Hayes, West Virginia, 6-0. He's throwing for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns a game. I mean, they got a benefit.
Still helps.
Geno Smith.
Yes, Geno Hayes was the linebacker for Florida State.
Geno
Hayes. Something that sounds right. Geno Hayes almost came here, I think. Geno, I knew it was Geno.
I
was close.
Know. It just doesn't.
Kevin
I mean,
White.
Army almost beat Oklahoma in the last, like, 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Well, it kind of sucks, mm-hmm. too. Tennessee's been pretty unlucky. Like, we get BYU when they have Zach Wilson, and they're pretty good. We get Pitt with ninth-year senior
Air Force
Kenny
almost
Pickett.
Beat Tennessee
yeah.
here. I mean,
you get Oklahoma when they're a playoff caliber team. We've not been. We got West Virginia with maybe one of their best offenses. We're not very good at the guessing game 3, 4, 5 years out. Like teams, it's almost like they see Tennessee on the schedule and they get the boost and we don't. Syracuse will be world beaters when we play them. You watch.
I don't know. They're pretty terrible.
Didn't they just upset somebody pretty?
Maybe Liberty.
Liberty, yeah.
Liberty. Come on.
Liberty was favored.
Okay. Were they?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hater. I like Babers. I liked him at Bowling Green. It's been a struggle at Syracuse, but Syracuse, what are you going
to do? Punishment Wednesday tomorrow.
Wasabi.
Tasty baby food.
You got a choice? You want those little the Vienna sausages again?
I'm sure you'll make it.
I'm not going to mix them together this time.
I hear the little puffs. Those are popular.
Puffs are great.
Maybe I'll get some different stuff. Some of the good stuff for us to taste, and then you can have the ham.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
Creamed ham.
The meats are the worst.
Corned beef hash. What's the name of the drugstore? Harold's? Oh, I can't remember.